purpose. We don't understand what that purpose. We have not yet come into an understanding of that purpose. And maybe we feel like God does not love us. How could he love us? Because we know us. We know what we've done, where we've been, who we lied on, who we talked about, who we deceived, who we were manipulative with, who we were deceitful with. We know all the dirty, low-down things that we have done. So why would God love us? But he lets us know in Romans chapter 5 that while we were yet sinners, he proved his love for us. So tonight, for the few moments that we have on tonight, I do want to talk to you on this evening from the thought of no filter, no filter. And so when I looked up the word filter, there were several definitions for the word. But the one that I want to hone in on tonight, it says something that has the effect of a filter, as by holding back elements or modifying the appearance of something. And so that's what I want us to focus on tonight as we are talking about the word of God or hearing from the young lady in the video. And she talking about not having purpose, not experiencing, or not so much experiencing, but not feeling the love of God and questioning that. There are many of us today that question that. And we know today the world celebrates Halloween. And we have children and adults alike that are out with masks on, costumes on. They're all dressed up, did up. They had a Halloween, a costume party at work. So there were several who came in with their costumes on at work. And they were all did up and dressed up. And they have changed the appearance as the word filter has defined. They change the appearance of something. They change the appearance of themselves. And I got the word no filter because I was out this weekend. Mariah had an opportunity to travel with me this weekend. We went to my hometown of Detroit. And while we were out, we were at a birthday party. And, of course, pictures are being taken all over the place. And there was a picture that her and my sister took. And I heard my sister tell her, I like that filter that you used. I need to know what that filter is. And so she said, well, you got to get, you're on Snapchat. It's a Snapchat filter. And we've become so accustomed to filters. You know, back in the day, this day, you know, we had masks. And even still, we have masks. Us women, we adorn ourselves with makeup. That's a form of a mask, you know, some to enhance their already beautifulness. Some because we just like to feel especially pretty. And some because maybe I have a bruise on my face that I'm trying to cover up. And so I'm going to put on a mask. I'm going to put on some makeup. Maybe I'm trying to hide my countenance, and so maybe if I do my face up and I can hide the frown that's really up under all of this makeup. And now with technology, we have filters. So we can post pictures all day on social media and put a filter up, and people would look at that filter, that filtered photo, and think something totally different about you because of what they're seeing and what's being projected. And it's really not our true selves, our true nature. And some of that is because we don't know who we are. We don't feel we have purpose. We may even feel like God doesn't love us. I was watching the news a few weeks back, and they were talking about the effects of filters and how we've become so acclimated to using them that it's really beginning to mess with the psyche of people because now they're trying to live up to this image that they have posted on social media. Now they have this flawless face on social media, and now when that filter is not on and they're looking at the mirror, looking at their true self, their true nature, now depression is coming upon them because now I'm not that. and that's what I want to be. But if we could on tonight, we're going to go to the Word of God and see what God has to say about who we are. If you would, go with me to the 139th division of Psalm, very familiar passage of Scripture. And I'm not going to ask you to stand on tonight. We're going to be a little lax on tonight. Amen. And I'm not even going to be before you long on tonight. We're going to have a time of prayer. We're closing out our prayer well. Apostle began 90 days where we were digging three different wells. The first well was our worship well. We did for the month of September. In the month of October, we've gone into our prayer well. And as November turns on tomorrow, can y'all believe we only got 2 months left in the year? This year is about to be gone. So tomorrow is November 1st. We will be going into a new sermon series on this weekend, and we are dealing with the harvest, which was our third well. Amen. And so I do want us to have a time of prayer on tonight, as Minister Nicolette stated as she was praying. Tonight is one of the most highly influenced demonic evenings or days, really. They really got started last night, if we're being honest. But it's so much spiritual action that's going on in the demonic on today. And so we want to be able to have a time of prayer where we are combating that. But the 139th division of Psalm on tonight, I am reading from the NIV version. And Nikki, I know I gave you 14, that's where we're going to land at. But I want to read starting in verse 1 on this evening for you. It says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" Y'all know God is on Snapchat, right? Y'all know he sees all those little DMs, all those little messages that come through. He's right there in the midst of it. You can have your screensaver up on your phone or your screen protector up so that other people can't see what's on your phone, but God still sees. He says, "Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you." That's why they told us what's done in the dark will come to light, because he is light even in the darkness. And verse 13 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You picked my hair color, you picked my eye color, you picked my skin color, you picked all of that. You knew how tall I was going to be, how wide I was going to be. You knew all of that about me." And so he says in verse 14, and this is where we will land on today, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word on today. We thank you, Father, for giving us revelation that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we don't need to add anything to the perfect work that you have already done, God. So we praise you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, today's message is entitled No Filter. And for those that just came in and those that may just be clicking on, just want to read that definition again to you. There are several definitions that it gives for filter, but the one I want to focus in on is something that has the effect of a filter, as by holding back elements or modifying the appearance of something. Holding back evidence or modifying the appearance. And so the modified appearance is more what I want to concentrate on tonight. We have to come to a place where we understand that we are truly, fearfully, and wonderfully made. It is God's word concerning us, and his word is true. It doesn't matter how light our skin, how dark our skin, how tall we are, how short we are, how wide we are, how small we are. It doesn't matter any of those things. We were all created by his hand. He says he knit us in our mother's womb. And I don't know about any of you, but have any of you ever knitted anything? That takes some time. When you're sitting there, that is a strategy to that. That's a process to knitting. It's not something you just throw together and here you go. No, that's a process. That means he took his time. It was a process. And so many times we look at the prepared thing, but we don't understand the process it took for it to become prepared. We look at people in certain positions had to do or go through in order to get where they are. But God has purpose for each and every one of us. And my prayer today is that we would come to know the love of God that he has for us, that we would know that we don't need a filter, that filters are optional. We just do it because we want to play with it. We don't need it. I don't have to put on makeup. I just do it because I like to play in it. I don't have to dress up in no specific type of clothing. I just like to dress up because I just like to play dress up. But even if that was not my personality, if I was the blue jean cap on my cap to the back, gym shoes type of person, then let's go with it. But I have to be confident in who I am because God knit me. He took his time to make me. So I don't have to try to be anybody else in this room but Tiffany. I don't have to be anybody else I see on social media. I just have to be who God created me to be. And sometimes we lose sight of our purpose and we lose focus of who we are because we're so busy trying to keep up with what everybody else is doing. We're so busy trying to be like somebody else. And imitation is the best flattery. It is. But we have to not imitate to the point that we're trying to duplicate completely. You have your individuality, you have your personality, and that makes you who God created you to be. And we have to get to the place where we are free and comfortable in that. There is nothing more freeing than to know the forgiveness that God gives us. And sometimes because we are still in the process, we feel like we have to put on this facade and be something other than who we are. That's why every opportunity I get, I try to be as transparent before you all as possible because I need y'all to know I'm still in the process. So if I thunder punch somebody, I don't need y'all looking at me sideways because I already let y'all know I'm still in the process. I'm not trying to be nobody. I'm not trying to be Apostle Keith. I'm not trying to be Lady Tanisha. I'm just trying to be Tiffany. and the best version of Tiffany that I can be. And that's all that we can all strive for. So we have to get to the place where we no longer hide from God. Apostle made a very honest assessment in his message on Sunday. He said that we are willing to be honest with man, but we want to lie to God. We'll sit up and call each other on the phone. Girl, let me tell you what he did. I'm so mad at him. And then we get before God and we got a whole different prayer going on. No, tell God about this anger you're dealing with. Tell God about how you ready to thunder punch somebody in the throat. Go on and spill all the beans to the one who can help you, who can fix you, who can fix the situation. But we'd rather pick up the phone and talk to one another. And then we put on a facade with God when he already sees. The psalmist reminds us here in this 139th division of Psalms, where can I go from your spirit? He says, you discern my going out and my lying down. Verse 2, you know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. So why would I not keep it real with God? Why would I not be transparent and get naked before the one who is the one that I can safely land in his arms? We're looking for validation from all the wrong places. Looking for love from everybody else. But the one who has loved us the most. Why? Or how do I know? Because he gave his only begotten son for us. He loved us when we didn't love ourselves. He loved us when some of us still are struggling with loving ourselves. He loved us when we were doing everything that we were big and bad enough to do. He said, I still love your little dirty. I see you down there just rolling around in that dirt, being muddy and all that stuff. And I still love you. When we were battling addiction, he still loved us. When we were laying up in somebody else's bed that wasn't ours, he still loved us. When we were cussing out our children, cussing out our parents, he still loved us. And I know a love like that is hard to fathom. That's why the young lady on the video said, I don't feel worthy. He doesn't love me. I don't have a purpose. I don't have a value. Because we're measuring it based on who we are and who we know us to be instead of who he created us to be. But he reminds us here in Psalm 139 and 14 that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so I know some of those filters. I got tickled because as I was going through some pictures in my phone this morning, I came across a picture that I had screenshot of a filter that my daughter had put on me. We were taking some pictures and playing one day, and she had put a filter on me, and I had these eyelashes that was like way up here, and my lips was all did up and all. And I just laughed when I saw that picture because that's what a filter does. It presents a false reality to us. And we're wondering why we're not getting the breakthrough, why we're not seeing the manifestation of the promises of God, because we're stuck in a false reality. God says, I'm trying to come, and I thought this is where I made my daughter. This is where I knit her in my mother's womb. This is where I created her, but that's not what I created. I'm looking in. All those filters, I can't even find her to bless her. I can't find him to deliver him, to set him free. Because we have put up so many filters. We have created this false reality. And many times we wear a mask and we create these filters in the real world because we're trying to hide our hurt. We're trying to hide our disappointment. We're trying to hide. Now, there's some of us that, yeah, we just like to have fun and we play with certain things and we post our little fun pictures. But you can really look. If you have a discerning spirit, you can look and see beyond what's being posted. You can look at a picture and see. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. You can read those 1,000 words in the picture if you're paying attention. And the Bible says to know them that labor among you. So even when we come together, I can look and see your countenance is not what it normally is. Now, you may be smiling and you may have that filter on and you may have that makeup on and you may have that mask on and you may be pressing your way through, but I can still see your brokenness. And if I can see it, how much more does Abba Father see it? How much more does he desire to heal us? Keep it real. If we would just say, here I am, God, unfiltered, unclothed, naked and transparent before you, here I am. Let me just lay it all at your feet. And so he desires for us to become unfiltered today. He wants us to be unmasked today. See, we use filters for a lot of things. We use filters in our cars for our oil. We use filters in our cars for our, we have air filters in our cars. We use filters in coffee pots. So filters have purposes when they're used for the correct purpose. A good filter will keep impurities out. We put filters on our water at home, on our tap water, so that when we get water from the tap, or if you get it coming from the refrigerator, you have a filter on it so that when it comes through, the impurities. So when a filter is used in the right way, it has a good purpose. But we've been misusing filters and using them to hide behind. We've been using filters to hide not just from or it, hide in the midst of those around us, but to even hide from God. And God says, we're not digging these wells of worship and of prayer, and we're not going to enter into the well of harvest until we can enter in with a pure heart, a clean heart, a true heart, a for real heart. See, we're ready to dump all our garbage on others, but the one who's made to handle our mess, we don't want to dump it on him. We'd rather pick up the phone and call Evangelist Brenda and say, let me tell you, can you pray with me? And God said, but I'm right here. Come sit on my lap, daughter. Come hold my hand, son. Come rest in my bosom. Speak to me. Commune with me. Look to me. So it's time to take off the filters. It's time for us to take the mask off. It's time for us to allow Holy Spirit to come in and truly heal us from the inside out, to tell him what truly ails us so that we can be better. Not bitter. Healed. Not broken. So that we can run on to do the work that God called us to do. And I say it all the time, we can't get the world saved because we keep having to get the saints resaved. They need to be encouraged every day. They need to be pumped up and filled up every day. We gotta keep getting each other back on the same, on the right path all the time. So how are we gonna reach them out there when we keep having to recycle each other's emotions and encouragement in here? Because we're not willing to lay it all down and say, look, I ain't got it together. I've been trying. This is my struggle. This is where I'm at. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray the effectual prayer of the righteous that you may be healed. Pray for one another that you might be healed, for the effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. So we got to get to that place where God can really reach us deep, deep, deep on the inside and allow some excavation to go on. Y'all ever seen the machines that come out to excavate when they out there doing, getting in the ground? That machine goes deep. It goes down. It pulls up the roots. It pulls up anything in its path. And that's the kind of deep well cleansing that we need in order to see the harvest of God manifest in our life. It's some stuff that we're going to have to remove, some filters that we're going to have to take down, take off. Some makeup, we got to get some makeup cloths and remove it. We're going to have to lay the mask down. Halloween is over tonight. Right now, we don't have to wear these masks. We're not going to wear these masks after today. Because we're walking into the newness of God. The great and mighty things that he has prepared for us. The 69th division of Psalm. Verse 5 says this. Y'all, I'm old school. I like the Bible. Y'all like to hear them pages turn. Y'all hear that? We about to have a Bible drill. Y'all, we got about 5 more minutes, and we gonna go into a Bible drill tonight. 69 and 5 says, "You, God, know my folly. My guilt is not hidden from you." He sees all. He knows all. So tell him where you hurt. Fred Hammond had a song that came out a couple of years ago. It says, tell him where you hurt. He's singing it from the position of God. Tell me where you hurt, and I'll heal you. He says, bring it all to me. But sometimes we don't want to deal with the hurt because dealing with the hurt means we have to acknowledge the pain. And sometimes acknowledging the pain means we have to acknowledge the source of the pain. And we fought so hard to suppress that mama didn't love us, daddy didn't love us, grandma rejected us. We was too tall, too dark, too light, too this, too what, for whatever reason, they rejected us. So now we found us a cute little filter that makes us fit in. But that's just the outside. God says there's a work that needs to take place on the inside. And that's why David sung out, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 69 and 5 lets us know that we cannot simply put on a filter to hide our guilt, our shame. Maybe it's popularity that you seek. Maybe it's just attention. Maybe mom and them didn't show you enough attention. Your husband, your wife, your children have, maybe you're an empty nester. I got tickled. We were walking. I got a couple of the ladies from work. We try to go walking every day at 3. And so we were walking out yesterday in the little neighborhood that we cut through. A woman was out there checking her mail. And so she saw us coming up the street, and she stood at that mailbox waiting for us. And so she had her coat on and was zipped up and had her hood on her head. And she began to tell us about the coat she had gotten while she was visiting the Winter Olympics a couple of years ago. And she was like, I'm so glad I got this coat because it sure is cold. And so, you know, we stopped and paused our walk for a minute to engage her. And so she went from the coat to her retiring, and she went from the retirement to, you know, everything. And 20 minutes later, our walk was totally paused. Heart rate had slowed down. Well, then she decided she was going to walk with us. So she got her mail in hand, and now she was walking with us along the way. She said she was going to go on a walk with us. And so she's like, whenever y'all come this way, that's my house. Just knock on the door. I'll come out there and walk with y'all. And it was just really a blessing. So they were teasing me when we got back to work. They was like, you just attract everybody. You just talk to everybody. And I said, well, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you just don't know where people are and what people need. And you have to make yourself accessible to people. And she's retired. And so, you know, she that coat went from being on and zipped to being off, almost off. And I'm like, well, I don't want you to get sick out here with us. But she enjoyed herself walking with us. I mean, and we walked and we talked and we walked and we talked. But we have to remove the filter so that people can see us. Some of us are sitting next to people that we sit next to all the time and we still don't know them. We still don't see them. We don't allow ourselves to be seen. How can we know them that labor amongst us if we always have this filter up? If we always have this mask on? You mean there's nobody in the body of Christ that you can truly trust and confide in? Well, I don't tell nobody what I'm going through because I know the Bible says confess your faults and pray for one another. So you, but I don't tell nobody because I don't want nobody to know my business. And so we suffer in silence. And we just put on mask after mask after mask, filter after filter after filter, trying to hide when God says, I just want to heal you. You don't have to hide. If you would just let me heal you. We see Judas, who thought he can hide his act of betrayal from Jesus. He put on a mask. He put on a mask of pleasantry. He knew how to walk like the disciples, how to talk like the disciples, how to pray like the disciples. But yet he was a betrayer. In the midst of Jesus. So we got to take the filters off. Jesus sees right through our mask. No matter how, sometimes even with people we pretend. And we try to make everything, I got it. Oh no, I got it. Oh no, I got it. You don't, and then drops everything. You don't got it. That be me. I'm telling on myself right now. Telling on myself. Sometimes we be strong when we don't have to be. But God has given us a community. And beyond the community he has given us communion with him. But we're not utilizing it in the manner that is beneficial, not just for us, but for his kingdom. Because who's waiting on you? Who's waiting on you? Sometimes when we're going through and we can't find the right mask or the filter, so we just gonna stay home today. I don't have the right filter to put on today. I don't have the right mask to put on today, so I'm just gonna stay home. But maybe you staying home became a stumbling block for somebody because your shout excites them. Your shout ignites them. When they see you going in and worship, they're like, that's what I was waiting for. But now you're not even here. So now they're looking around like, well, where is my igniter? You don't know that you ignite them because you're so stuck on you, what you going through, what you dealing with, how you need a breakthrough. Not realizing that you are somebody else's breakthrough. So we can't forsake our time of communion with God, and we can't forsake our time of community with one another. But beyond anything, we have to be honest. When the apostle said that on Sunday, that just hit me to the core. Because I'm guilty. And I said it on a message I spoke a couple of months ago, that our first default, our natural default ought to be to pray. Not pick up the phone, but our natural default ought to be to pray. Ought to be to praise, ought to be to worship. Ought to be to go to Abba Father. Listen, the minute something go wrong, my kids call me. I'm like, y'all don't have nobody else's phone number in y'all phone book. I mean, they grown. They call their mama. They got a daddy. They got a bonus dad. They got grandparents, but they call their mom. They got siblings, but they call their mama. If your earthly father, who is evil, can give good gifts, how much more does our heavenly Father want to do for us? So we got to take the filters off. There is nothing more liberating than to know that you no longer have to hide. When you come into the revelation that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you were handmade by God, that he knitted you together in your mother's womb. When you come to that revelation, you will be unstoppable. I'll know when you come to that revelation, because it's going to show up in how you serve. It's going to show up in how you conduct yourself. The world will know when you've gotten that revelation, because there's just a different confidence that comes on you when you really know who you are, and when you really know whose you are. You walk different. You walk in somewhere that your family own. You walk in a restaurant that your family own. You got a little something about you when you walk in there, because you like, this is my daddy's house. This is my mama's. This is my grandpa. My grandpa cooked frying that chicken back there. I can go back there if I want. I mean, you got a little confidence about yourself when you walk in there, because you know where you are and who you're connected to. But I want everyone in this room to know, regardless of where you started, regardless of the process and where you are in the process, there is purpose in you. God loves you. And he deemed you worthy when he sat there and hand-knitted you in your mother's womb. My oldest son used to take up knitting in school, and he still knits every now and then. He gonna get me if he's telling all his business. He still knits every now and then. My grandmother used to knit. It was never anything I picked up. I always wanted to learn to knit, but I didn't have the patience to knit. God had the patience to make every hair on your head, every bone in your body, every muscle, every nerve. He patiently knitted you. How could you not praise him? How could you not glorify him? How could you not serve him? How could you not walk in the confidence, the godfidence, as I like to say, that he gives? Because we are knitted by the Father. I bought a shirt at Malaika's event last week, weekend before last, that says Made in Heaven. We buy stuff and we check in the label. Was this made in China? Was this made in America? Was this made? But you can look at somebody and say, I was made in heaven. See, all that little stuff we get, all y'all Temu buyers and all that stuff you get that comes from all these other places, you know, you're gambling with the quality of it. You get what you pay for. But God says, I'm going to put some special quality. I'm going to hand knit and make you fearfully and wonderfully. Fearfully and wonderfully. Fearfully and wonderfully. Fearfully and wonderfully. He knows our imperfections because he made us. The manufacturer always knows. The defects, the defaults, the imperfections, all of that. Parents in the house, you know your children. If you being honest and real, I get tickled every time somebody get on the news and be like, my child would never. You a lie straight from the pits of hell because you know that baby ain't just wake up today and decide that they was going to go do what they did. You know that child been out here acting the heathen. But they on the news. He never did nothing like this. He just woke up today and lost it. She just woke up today and lost it. No, I'm be the one on the news like I've been praying. I've been asking God to redirect him. I was hoping this wasn't going to happen, but here we are. Come on. No filter. Ain't no sense of trying to clean it up, cover it up. No, no filter. See, we want to be in the front of everything, and we want the spotlight on us when we got the filter on. But when the filter comes off, cut the cameras off. Cut the lights down low. Don't look at me. But God says, that's when I want to see you. And I'm going to close with this. I am a movie buff. And one of my favorite movies. I'm going to see if y'all movie buffs like me. I'm just going to give y'all the line. So, let me see. I can say it without giving too many details of the movie. The line is, I want to see them in the daylight. Okay, I'm going to give y'all a little more details. It was a record producer who was looking to sign a group. No. No. Mm-mm. Sparkle. And she was in the closet getting her drugs on. And when they got her out the closet and he saw her, he said, this is why I wanted to see them in the light. And tonight, God is saying, I want to see you in the light. I want to see all your brokenness. I want to see all your defects. I want to see all your hurt. I want to see all your disappointments. I want to see all your letdowns. I want to see all your failures, all your bad decisions, all your wrong choices. I want to see all the times you rejected me. I want to see all the times you were disobedient. I want to see all of that, all your struggles. I want to see it in the light. Because despite all of that, you're still fearfully and wonderfully made. He says he created everything, and when he looked at it, he said it is good. So why would you put a filter on something that was already good? How can you enhance the work of the master creator? In the natural, if I went and tried to paint on a Da Vinci painting or a Leonardo or a Monet, then I'm like, what are you doing? This is already a masterpiece. We don't need your 2 cents. We don't need your touch. I was just at home in I'm from Detroit in Motor City. If I would have pulled up at GM like, I got, let me do something to these cars coming off the line. They'd be like, ma'am, we got this. This is what we do. We don't need your touch. And God's saying, I got this. This is what I do. I put purpose in you. I foreknew you. I fearfully and wonderfully made you. I handcrafted you. I first loved you. The only validation you need is in this word. We want to trust God for everything, for everyone. But when it comes to us, we want to question Him. No, Lord, you can't really use me. Lord, you can't really see no value in me. Lord, you really don't, I really don't have no purpose. Lord, you really don't love me. Lord, how? Why? But He says, I love you that much. With outstretched hands and piercings in my, nail piercings in my hand. With outstretched arms and nail piercings in my hand. I love you that much. I love you that much that even when you were still in your mess, even while we're still, because some of us were still being processed, I still love you. The psalmist says, if I go in heaven, you're there. And if I make my bed in hell, you're right there with me. He says, because I love you that much. So tonight, won't you let Him be the friend that sticks closer than a brother? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I know there are times that come where we feel isolated and alone. There are times that come where we're questioning our purpose. We're questioning our value. But please don't underestimate the handiwork of our God. You, in the sound booth, everyone on this side, are the handiwork of God. And He has placed much value, much purpose in you. So no filter is needed. No filter is needed. You know, one thing I like about kids, they really don't have no filter. They gonna tell you everything. They have no filter. They gonna say it how they see it. You ugly, you fat, you did, you black, you white. They gonna say it how they see it. No filter. And God says, when you come in my presence, say it how you feel it. No filter. Say it how you see it. No filter. Because it's only in that time of transparency that I can begin to answer those questions, that I can begin to resolve that doubt. But if you never lay it down at my feet, if you never bring it to me, then how can I relieve you of it? If you choose to keep it, if you choose to carry it, how can I help you with it? The men tease me here all the time because I'll be coming through the door with bags. They like, we got it, we got it. And I'm like, no, I got it, I got it. How can they help me if I won't release it to them? If I keep carrying it? And so that's what God is wanting from us tonight. As we close out this well of prayer, my prayer is that we would understand who we are. That we would understand that there is so much more to us than what we see. And that we would allow God to see us in the daylight. Last thought. A coworker was sharing with me today. HBO has a new series. And I think she said it's out of Britain or somewhere over there. Where there is a dating show, but they're dating naked. So they're each on, kind of like y'all remember the old school dating show where you sat on one set on this side of the curtain, one set on that side, so you didn't see them. But this time when the curtain comes up, they're completely naked. Talk about letting it all out on the first date. And that's what God is saying. Let it all out on the first date. Let every time you come in His presence be like the first time. where you just release everything. I know we were taught, don't tell them everything on the first date, y'all. Hold something back. Leave something to the imagination. But with God, he says, when you come beyond the veil, it's okay to get naked in my presence. When you come beyond the veil, it's okay to empty yourself out in my presence. So then I can tell you all the lovely thoughts that I have concerning you, to reassure you, to reaffirm you, and if necessary, to rebuild and to restore you. So tonight, if there is one who would say, I've been struggling with my identity, and I'm one who feels like I need a filter, I need a mask. I've been living a life that's a facade. I've been pretending to be happy when I'm really not. I've been pretending to be okay when I'm really not. I've been pretending to have it all together when I really don't. Or maybe you're just struggling with knowing who you are in Christ and grasping the concept that an almighty God can love a little old us. If that is you tonight, I'm going to ask that you would allow us to pray with you tonight. Because we want to break the back of the devil tonight. He has held us bound too long. And it's time for some chains to be broken. And the first chain that has to be broken is the one that goes around our mind. Some of us are imprisoned to our own thoughts because of how we see ourselves. But God says, I see who I made you to be, who I created you to be, who I hand-knitted you in your mother's womb to become. So if that is you on tonight, and you desire prayer, you would like us to just touch and agree with you tonight, that you would get the revelation of who God is, because you can't know who you are until you first know who he is. When you come into an understanding of who your Father is in heaven, it's going to change your whole life. You might walk around like this, but you're going to begin to walk with your head high, because I know who Abba. I know who my daddy is. So if that's you tonight, allow us to pray with you on tonight. My next appeal will be to the one who has not accepted Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, the Bible lets us know in Romans that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus died for our sins, then salvation is our portion. It doesn't come from you coming to the altar at the time of appeal and someone laying hands on you and you and them praying over you and you never opened up your mouth and said nothing. It says if you confess with your mouth and if you believe in your heart. So tonight, if that is you, if you're the one who needs to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, if you're the one who needs to confess him with your mouth, the altar is open. Why a public confession? Because he says, if you are afraid to own me in front of men, I'll be afraid to own you in front of my Father. We have to make a public proclamation of who we are and who we belong to. We have to give the devil notice that we are no longer being held captive to his schemes and his devices. That we're changing dance partners. So won't you come and dance with the Lord? The one who took his time to knit you, mold you, make you, who poured all his love and the very essence of his being into you. He says we're created in his image and in his likeness. Hallelujah. You coming for prayer? You just coming around. Amen. 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 Minister Nicolette's going to come and pray with you, baby. Come on, even the babies are coming. Out of the mouth of babes. Glory to God. And she's an intercessor, y'all. She's a prophet of the Lord. And that gift will be nurtured. It will be cultivated. And there's not a devil in hell that will stop, block, or keep her from being who God created her to be. Because she will have the revelation, even at a young age. Not many days from where she is now, the tender age that she is now, God's going to show himself. She already knows who he is, but she's going to have a greater awareness and a greater understanding that is going to blow the minds of people. Just as Jesus taught in the temple at the ripe age of 12, taught among the teachers and the leaders and the scribes, she will be as he because of her heart's posture before the Lord and the mandate God has placed on her life. That's why you go through the hell you go through. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the seed you produced. And so Mama God is going to raise you up to be a prayer warrior so that you can pray and intercede for her so that the gift of God that's in her can come to pass. Mary couldn't hinder Jesus. Now they was a little upset when they was traveling home and realized he wasn't with them. Boy, why you got us out here worried about you? Don't you know I must be about my father's business? I'm giving you that revelation now that she must be about her father's business. So, Mom, that's going to challenge you to rise up and protect the anointing of God on her life. Your pain has purpose. And that purpose is in her. It was not in vain. It was not in vain. Just as in the natural, the physical labor and pain that you experienced in order to birth her through, in the spirit, there's going to be some labor and some pain to birth her into purpose. But God has equipped you for. He won't put more on you than you can bear. And I know there has been some things that seemed unbearable. But you're still here. You're still standing. And God says, greater. Greater will come. Keep trusting. Don't give up. Because giving up will restart the cycle. But it breaks today. In the name of Jesus, every chain, every destiny destroyer, every destiny blocker, and everything that has come to hinder and to keep you from propelling into the purpose God created you breaks today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. For those of you who are online, if you were giving your heart to Christ on today, would you hashtag no filter today? Let the world know that you are not hiding behind a mask. You're not hiding behind a filter, that you are unashamed of the gospel of Christ and that you don't need a filter because you know who your Father is. Let's get real. Let's get transparent. And let's stop looking through the lens of our natural eyes, because that's what messes us up. When we begin to look through our natural lens, it messes us up every time. But God looked through the telescope of time and he saw purpose. He saw you fearfully and wonderfully made. I declare that the knowledge of who he is will enlighten you, so that the knowledge of who you are will not evade you, in the name of Jesus. Can we all stand on tonight? We're just going to pray, and then we're going to take up our offering on tonight. Most gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for your word on today. We thank you, Father, that we don't need no filter. We don't need a filter. I'm talking broken English up here, y'all. Pray for me. That we can take the mask off. We can remove the filters, Father, and we can just come before you boldly as your word has already proclaimed. We thank you for your throne of grace and the mercy that extends from it. We thank you for your throne and the grace that extends from it. And Father, we thank you that when we put up a facade, and when we were these great pretenders, and when we were trying to be everything else, everyone else, but who you created us to be, that you still loved us. You were still faithful to us. And Father, today I pray that whatever chains are holding us, whatever is binding us, whatever is keeping us, whatever is not allowing us, Father, to present our true identity, to allow our true identity to prevail, our kingdom identity to prevail, that you will begin to break every chain now. It is your anointing that destroys yokes. So we declare the anointing of God to destroy every yoke of bondage, keeping us now in the name of Jesus. We are more than conquerors. We are seated in heavenly places. And Father, we thank you for your truth that is our foundation. And we will build on this solid foundation as we draw nigh unto you. Forgive us our sins tonight. Forgive us our trespasses. And we receive you again, Jesus, as Lord and Savior in our life. We ask you to come in our heart, to cleanse it, to purify it, and to remove any and everything that's unpleasing to you, that we, oh Lord, can be the daughters and sons, the sons and daughters that you created us to be. We give you glory, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. While you are standing, if you would prepare your offering on tonight, if you need an envelope, if you would raise, I'm going to ask if Mariah wouldn't mind grabbing some envelopes. If anyone needs one on today, amen. If you wouldn't mind bringing me one, amen. For those of you who are viewing on tonight, if you would like to give, you can text any amount to 843. Thank you, ma'am. 84321, 84321. If it is your first time texting that number, you can text the amount and the fund. It's going to send you a link to capture your billing information. And then from henceforth and evermore, when Holy Spirit moves upon you, you can just text the amount and the fund that you are donating to. For instance, 20 offering, 50 tithe. That's all you have to text, and it will come back to you. You can also give using Cash App on today. Our handle is $ElevateBR, $ElevateBR, or you can give by clicking in our church app, and there is a giving link right in our church app. So if you click on the church app, depending on what type of device you have, if you have Android, you can find that link in the bottom right corner. I cannot speak for the Apple people. But depending on what device you have, you will find that giving link right inside the church app, and you can click on the giving link. The benefit of the church app is it allows you to pay or to give your offering and to bring your tithe by way of your checking account or savings account. You can set up for a ACH debit as opposed to using your debit card or credit card payment to make those gift offerings. So if you would like to, you can set it up as a recurring based on your pay schedule. And for those that would like to become a monthly partner, you can go right in the app and set up your monthly commitment. Or if you would like more information on what your monthly partnership entails and what it will go to fund here, you can email us at partners@elevatechurchbr.com for more information on that. If everyone is prepared to give on tonight. And then again, for those of you who are watching at home that says, I want to mail in my seed on tonight, you can mail that seed, that check. Please don't send cash in the mail, but you can mail that check or money order to 10957 Greenwell Springs Road, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70814. I'm loving it because the babies are in the house getting their gift ready. Amen. And so if you have prepared your heart to give on tonight, amen, we're going to hold up our seed. We're not going to make our faith declaration on tonight, but I will ask you to say this as you hold up your seed: not as a debt that I owe, but as a seed that I sow. I'm planting my seed, and I believe God for my harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. You may bring your gift from wherever you are on tonight. Everyone's had an opportunity to give on tonight. Amen. Can we bless the offering on tonight? Most gracious and eternal Father, we thank you, for we know that every good gift comes from above. We thank you, Father, for being our source and providing the resources that we need. And Father, as we put our trust back in you and as we walk in full obedience to your word, we thank you, Father, for the manifestation and the harvest that shall come forth for every seed that has been planted, that this is good ground. We declare it to be fertile ground. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise on tonight? Hallelujah. Before we get ready to go, we're just going to close out in a time of prayer. I'm going to ask if Evangelist Brenda wouldn't mind coming, Miss Mother Bolden wouldn't mind coming and closing us out in prayer on tonight. Hallelujah. She will be the last voice that you hear on tonight. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you came tonight to show us your way, that we would open ourselves to you for real, knowing that the real us is not what people see, but it's on our inside. So, Lord God, I thank you for the lives that were change today. I thank you, Lord God, for the hearts that were mended tonight, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that we have accepted the charge, knowing that your fingerprints are already on us. That, God, we're going to be who you would have us to be. Having your way, Lord, not our way. For we were fearfully and wonderfully made by you for a purpose, with a purpose. So as we have accepted that charge, God, I thank you tonight that when we walk out of this place in the newness of life, that we will go forth in your power, in your strength, and in your might, being with the greater one living on our inside, will be seen on our outside. And everything that we do, God, we thank you that it'll be in our walk, in our talk, and in our look. God, we really want to be who you want us to be. So we lay down ourselves. We die to our flesh, that you can come alive in us, that we will do your will gladly, gladly. Ambassadors carrying your word, carrying the torch, accepting the charge. Your way, God. So be it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.